And it is in this context that we will be looking at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And in this passage, it's a long chapter, so we won't be able to read it, but we'll pick things out as we go along. This passage is woefully misinterpreted. A scan of chapter 24 of Matthew, and there are companion texts in Mark speaking of the same thing, that when we read the passage, if we read it carelessly, if we do not pay close attention to the context, then we will end up like many that view the end of times and get really fearful and anxious about the end of times whenever they see things like famine, whenever they see multiplicities of earthquakes, when there are wars and any rumor of wars, and it's come like we are always having, if not wars, rumors of it. When there is evidence of apostasy and tribulation, sorrows, persecution and suffering, then persons having read Matthew chapter 24 get anxious. And people will say to you things like, you see, the world soon ends. Why? Because we have some earthquakes. Because when we scan chapter 24, it tells us that, you know, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he was saying, you know, at a particular time, certain things are going to happen. We are going to have earthquakes. We're going to have wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be tribulation and apostasy. There are going to be many sorrows and sufferings. But do we have that in the right context? Does the occurrence of these things speak to the end of time? Does it speak to the end of the ages? And brothers and sisters, a lot of persons who hold on to this are religious persons. Probably some of us hold on to this. When we are seeing certain things, boy, God soon come for his world. But if we think about it just a little bit, persons in the first century would have experienced war. Persons in the first century would have experienced earthquakes and sorrows and tribulation and persecution. Persons in the second century, the 15th century, we can recognize in our less than 100 years of existence, we ourselves would have seen wars, and we would have heard of serious rumors of wars, nuclear war. We are, if we're not careful, we would have thought that by now one of these atomic bombs would have already fallen. So, events of this nature, we need to be very careful. You know, we can remember, probably it was in the late 80s or early 90s, you know, when probably for the first time we could witness real time war. Because first time, in, you know, World War I and World War II, if we should read history, we recognize that the war, persons would have engaged in battles and won the battles, but it would take weeks before even the headquarters would know that a particular battle has really been won, because they would have sent out persons and they would have marched for days and weeks and months to attack a particular city. But here we are in the world of technology, where a bomb would have been sent off and we could be tracking real time and seeing the very building and the very space that they expected the bomb to hit that building. So we were seeing it real time. And when we see things like this and we are recognizing what is happening, we probably say to ourselves, "Whoa, God soon come." But how soon is soon? Because when we saw this in the early 90s, probably when we said God soon come, we probably were thinking that God is going to be coming like 2 years or less. So we need to be very careful that we do not say what God is not saying. I look at Matthew chapter 24, and you know, we're going to look at the context in a little while. We need to be careful that we do not embrace some of these beliefs about the coming of Jesus. Because the careless reading of it can send us in the wrong direction. See, some persons will read this text and misunderstand it woefully. Why? Sometimes we are just careless readers. Sometimes we just read without understanding. Let that not be named among you. Let not that be named among me. Let us, as we study the Word of God, be careful to read the passage and put it in context. And I'm still building my case and trying to get to my point. But not only is it that sometimes we read carelessly, sometimes when we read the Word of God, we have wrong beliefs that we want to prove. So because we want a passage to say a particular thing, we can take it out of context. You know, there are many religious persons who go to Matthew chapter 24 to cement and to augment the teaching of the rapture. If we can, as Christians, as students of God's Word, if we can understand the fallacy of the rapture, then that is a good topic for us to discuss with many religious persons, because many do not understand it. But I won't be using this lesson to talk about the rapture. Probably if you, I haven't double checked it, but probably if you visit our website and search for the rapture ruptured, which is a previous lesson, then some greater insight can be had in respect to the rapture. But not only do we find that in the reading of passages like Matthew chapter 24, that religious persons get it wrong, whether it is that because of careless reading or because they want to prove a religious truth that they want. But the very skeptic, the person who does not believe in Christianity, have run to this passage, Matthew chapter 24. Can you believe a person who does not believe in God, a person who does not believe in the Bible, goes to Matthew chapter 24, and in that chapter will seek to prove that God, Jesus, the Word of God, is false? Study with me. Let us read verse, pick up at verse 24 of Matthew 24.
For there shall arise false Christs, mm-hmm, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Okay.
Okay, I have here 24, but I think I need... Okay, let me... I think I have a wrong passage, verse there. Let's have... Okay, I'm looking for the verse that speaks to... that this generation shall not pass. 36? 34. Okay, so, alright. So, my bad handwriting got me there. Yes, verse 34. Pick up at verse 34.
Verily I say unto you.
Yeah, verily I say unto you.
This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Alright, let's back up a little. So here we have persons, non-believers, persons who have a vested interest in saying Christianity, the Bible, Jesus are all false. They would go to a passage like this. And it says, Jesus has been speaking from about verse 4, answering his disciples some questions that they ask him. And they say, you know, the same things. Jesus says, you know, there's going to be earthquake, and there's going to be famine. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars, and, you know, there's going to be great apostasy and tribulation, persecution and suffering. And then Jesus continues, and then he says in verse 34, verily, pay attention now, I say unto you that this generation, following me? This generation, that means the audience to which Jesus Christ is speaking, this generation shall not pass. Meaning, these persons who are hearing me, these persons who live now, they are not going to pass, they are not going to die. Until what? Until all these things be fulfilled. And so the skeptic says, wait, Jesus is false. Jesus cannot be divine because he's saying the end of time is coming. And the end of time will come before this generation pass. So we need to scratch our heads a little. So how long does a generation last? Well, I think a generation is deemed to be about 40 years. But let's say until the last person lives. Are we saying that there are persons alive today that is over 2,000 years? Can anybody say that they know anybody who is 2,000 years old? We can't even say we know anybody who is 200 years old. So the skeptic goes and says, if Jesus Christ, or since Jesus Christ, they would say, since Jesus Christ says, follow me, since Jesus Christ says that the end of time, if we interpret it that way, will happen before the generation passed, then he's using that as an argument to say that Jesus Christ is not divine. And if that is what Jesus Christ said, then wouldn't he have a point? If Jesus Christ was in this passage teaching that the end of time would come
before this generation passed. And the whole generation has passed, then it would be saying that Jesus Christ is unreliable. He would be saying that the Word of God, as we have it, is unreliable. You know, one of the things we need to be extremely careful about as we study God's Word is that we do not misinterpret, we do not misrepresent what God has said. Let me say that again. It is very important, it is very critical for us not to misrepresent God in our ignorance. It is very important that we represent God properly. Because when we teach what we think is right, when we teach what we were handed down without reading and understanding properly, we end up in a situation where we will misrepresent God and the very thing that we are trying to do to win persons to Christ. If they are well thinking, we'll confuse them. And those who are antagonistic towards Christianity and God will have ammunition to say that the Bible is vicious. But can we go to the text and try to get a better understanding of what is happening? Because what we are saying here, you know, is that persons reading Matthew chapter 24... leave with the concept, if it is read carelessly, that Jesus is teaching that the end of time, the world coming to an end, will happen when these things occur. And that in this generation, people who are alive in his time would end up seeing the end of the world. So in a sense, they are saying that Jesus is saying that at the time that he was speaking, the world would not exist after that generation. Everybody following me? But what is the text? Because we can in retrospect look back now. But that's not true. The world is still here. And this is some 2,000 years ago. So what is happening here? Let us go to the text. Can you believe that I have just introduced what I want to teach? So I am now going to start the lesson. Let us now look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, we start at verse 1. And I didn't mean to frighten you, because I believe honestly that in the next 10 or so minutes, I'll be finished with the lesson. That's good? All right, I have your attention? All right, good. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 to 3.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple.
So he went out and he departed from the temple.
And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple.
To show him the buildings of the temple. Yeah, read.
And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. That shall not be thrown down.
All right.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying...
All right, pause there a sec. All right. So Jesus is speaking, and of course, his disciples came, you know, and they said, well, you know, they pointed him to the temple, and they're talking about the temple. All right. And then Jesus turned to them and said, you know, I want to tell you something.
You see, you're showing me the buildings of the temple. In a while, it's going to be destroyed. All right, we're talking about context. All right, you're showing me the buildings of the temple. In a while, not a stone going to be another stone that this temple. All right, it's going to be destroyed. Having said that, all right, and you know, it then speaks about he was at the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately and asked him some questions. Read. Tell us,
when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world?
So, come slowly with me, because I don't want to leave you at this juncture. Alright? This is us studying God's word. We do not want to fall prey to those who have read carelessly. We want to shatter the thought of us having a bias and have come to this passage and take that bias and interpret the word of God to teach what we want. So, in the very start of the text, we see his disciples, that's Jesus' disciples, coming to him, and they ask some questions. You know, asking questions is a beautiful way to get understanding. If you don't understand something, one of the best ways to get an understanding is to ask questions. And sometimes ask many questions, and then you get answers. So let us look carefully at the questions asked. So, how many question signs do you see in that verse?
Two
question signs. Okay, tell me what comes before the first question sign.
When shall these things be?
When shall these things be? And then what comes after the B?
And what shall be the signs?
What comes after the B? Question sign. Can I make it bright? So you can see. That's a question. When shall these things be? That's a question. You see another question? Sign in the passage?
Yes, brother.
What comes before that question sign?
And what shall be the sign of thy coming?
Shall be
the sign of thy coming.
The sign is sign or signs?
Sign. And of the ends of the world.
Sign or signs?
Sign. Singular.
The sign. Okay. Of
thy coming.
Thy coming.
And of the end of the world.
And the end of
the world.
World. And then you have what after world?
Question sign.
Question sign. Everybody see it? Everybody looking in the Bible, right? Okay. Right. Okay. Teach, we're teaching, you know. Understanding, we're looking, you know. Because we're talking about the word of God. Alright? Okay. So the disciples asked him two questions. Are these the same question? Two different questions. When shall these things be? One. Two, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? You know, one could even say probably this is two questions, you know. What is the sign of thy coming question? And what is the sign of the end of the world question? But let's call it one. So we have two questions. All right. Now, good manners dictate. I believe that God and Jesus Christ have good manners. If you
ask two questions, then I'm going to try to answer it. Unless there is a reason that I'm going to ignore the question. Alright? Or decline to answer the question. So here it is that we have two questions being presented to Jesus Christ. When shall these things be? Well, what was Jesus speaking about? Jesus was speaking about, in the immediate context, he was talking about the temple and so forth. In fact, if we look at chapter 23 to get a bigger context, so we jump to chapter 23, we would recognize that, Jesus Christ was giving them a whole lot of warnings, woe this and woe that, and I think about seven different woes and warnings that he was giving. And one of the last things that he spoke, when he gave the last warning, he then got down in verse 37 of Matthew chapter 23, and he references Jerusalem. Now, let me step back a little. When we are studying the Word of God, and this is important for all of us to understand, remember, studying the Word of God is an important thing. That's how God speaks to us. So even though I'm here talking to you and you're hearing my voice, the extent to which I'm speaking from the Word of God, it is God that is speaking to you. One of the things that we should not get lost in is the division of books in chapters. We have to bear in mind that when these books were being written, they were one big long thing. For convenience, we break it up into chapters. Yes? Secular writers do the same thing. So renowned authors like Derek Bean and Paul Blake, who have written books in the Brotherhood, they could have just written their book one long thing, but guess what they do? They break it up in chapters. Alright, for convenience of reference. But it is usually one big theme. And so, when you see us just leave chapter 24 and go on to chapter 23, it's not really a different thing we're talking about. It's this very same thing. And what we just go there now for the convenience to show that leading up to what we had introduced in chapter 24, in verse 37, 23, we recognize that he was speaking about Jerusalem. And so in verse 37, read that for me. Verse 37 of chapter 23.
O Jerusalem.
O Jerusalem.
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 Thou that killest the prophets.
You kill the prophets.
And stonest them.
And you stone them.
Which are sent unto thee.
Yes.
O often I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings.
Right, I have a lesson that I'm preparing about that. In recent months, I've gotten into some things with fowl. And that type of protective thing where a mother hen will protect the chicken. Let me not. I'm lengthening the lesson by touching that. What's the point? We have gone to Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, to show that leading into chapter 24, Jesus Christ was speaking about Jerusalem. When we are introduced to chapter 24, we see that Jesus Christ and his disciples are talking about the temple. And so when the question is asked in verse 3 of Matthew 24, when shall these things be? Because Jesus was talking about, I'm going to destroy Jerusalem, and he's talking about the temple. And I said, when will these things be? When is this going to happen? When will things come tumbling down and destroy? And Jesus Christ heard their question. He heard question one and he heard question two. Jesus Christ begins to speak. You know, because, you know, Jesus was really just joining in this whole thing about the destruction of Jerusalem. Because Micah, Daniel, Isaiah, many other prophets had actually spoken of the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus joined in the conversation. But he's saying, when he starts saying what the prophets would have already said, you know, and spoke about it in such a matter of fact that this is going to happen, the disciples got concerned. When shall these things be? Jesus Christ started to answer this in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 24. And in his response, he starts by saying what? Verse 4.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
Alright, so stop. Alright. So the first thing Jesus says, take heed that no man deceives you. That don't sound like it answered the question yet. When shall these things be? Take heed that no man shall deceive you. That doesn't sound like the complete response. Jesus did not answer this question in one statement. You know, an easy way to have answered this question, you know. When shall these things be? Tomorrow. Oh, when shall these things be? Next year. When shall these things be? 10 years from now. When shall these things be? 70 AD. When shall these things be? 1914. Jesus did not give such a response. You know what happened? Jesus went from verse 4. I remember now, you know. Just like the vision, the original writing didn't have verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. That again is for our convenience and easy reference. Yes? So, Jesus Christ, from verse 4 to about verse 35, 34, 35, thereabout. From verse 4 to verse 35, Jesus Christ is answering the first question. Remember when we started the lesson? I would say that many are of the view that want to hear several earthquakes. God soon come. So guess what? They are here. They are at question two. What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So many persons latch on and mix up like it's a blender and just mix up the two questions them. And think that Jesus Christ started to answer here. Following me? Jesus Christ was still answering question number one. So when he's talking about the earthquake, when he's talking about the suffering and the tribulation and the apostasy, and we shouldn't find it strange about apostasy, you know. You know why we shouldn't find it strange about the apostasy? The very word of God tells us that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. It was in Revelation chapter 1, not very long after Jesus Christ died, that Paul said, I am so surprised that they are so easily moved and that they have gone to another gospel, which is not really. So we recognize that people have apostatized. They have moved away from that body of teaching that Jesus Christ had given. And so, brothers and sisters, friends, if we frame the passage properly, if we put in context the passage, then we recognize that when Christ's apostles, the disciples asked the question, when shall these things be? He was indeed answering that question right through. 4:35. And so all of these things about tribulation that many religious persons have taken to a different level, you know, the great tribulation and all kind of thing, that they have just latched onto a word and gave it a particular meaning. Jesus Christ was saying, was speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem, of the temple. History has recorded that in AD 70, some less than 40 years after Jesus Christ said this, that there was the destruction of the temple. And history will speak about Jerusalem and what happened during that period. Jesus Christ, in all of these, and all of what he was saying, all of these things that frighten so many of us, the nation shall rise against nation, verse 7. Verse 9, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. All of these things that frighten us. And saying, yeah, when you see these things happening, it's the end of the world. Guess what? Christ wasn't answering this question yet. Christ was still speaking about when shall be the signs of these things that you are talking about the temple and about Jerusalem. Get it in the right context. Put it in context. Because when you just start pulling things out of context, you start teaching things that don't go so. And when you put it in the wrong context like this, then it gives the agnostics and the skeptics and those atheists that don't believe in God and want to prove something to say, you guys are speaking foolishness. Because when Jesus Christ was answering and he got to verse 34 and said, you know, this thing will happen during the time of your generation, then we realize that we start teaching things that don't make sense. But guess what? The destruction of Jerusalem and the temple occurred in the generation of his audience. It happened in AD 70. Are we getting the point? When we put it in the right context, then we get the right understanding. Question. Did Jesus Christ ignore question number 2? No. He answered them both. Jesus Christ answered question number 2, starting at about verse 36. Do we have time? I said about 50. Alright. In verse 36, Jesus Christ went on to answer, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And you know when Jesus Christ got to that, what he said? I'm going to have to summarize this because time has passed. But in verse 36, when he would have answered this first question, and now come to the second question. He says, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Verse 36 says what?
What of that day?
What of that day?
And hour
knoweth no man. Not angels of heaven.
But my Father only.
Not Jesus. But only the Father. So he spent a whole lot of time explaining about the destruction of the temple. But when it comes down now to the end of the world, and when Jesus Christ is going to come back, he went into a posture in answering that question. He says, guess what? That question, nobody don't know.
No man knows. Yeah, LNG, well, I thought she knew, but she was wrong. That's the Adventists. Jehovah Witness thought they knew, but they were wrong. The Mormons. So many persons have predicted, and they have all gotten it wrong. No man knows. Not even angels know. Not even Jesus knows. Only God the Father knows. That's the type of posture we get. Then, to sort of reinforce the point, you know, he makes reference now to Noah. You know, he gives an example of Noah in verse 37. And he says, and let's take this personally. When God, Jesus is coming back, and the end of the world is coming, just like in the days of Noah, we are going to be eating. We are going to be drinking. Some of us are going to be getting married, and some of us are going to be at the marriage ceremony. It's going to be business as usual. It's going to be us in enjoyment. Life will be continued. We're not going to get any little hint. Guess what? God has told us that He's coming. So just like in the days of Noah, Noah was there warning, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. But when will the rain start, Noah? No one ever knew. Same way for us. We know that the end of the world is coming. We know that Jesus is coming again. Visitors, friends, Jesus is coming again. You need to be in a state of preparedness. You need to be ready. Then he used the thief. Another example. In verse 42, I believe. Following.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
So here we are told, because we don't know, just the same way we don't know when the thief is coming, so we need to watch. Because we don't know when the thief is coming, we need to be ready. Is there a lesson in that for us? We do not know when Christ is coming back. We don't know about His second coming. We don't know when the world is going to come to an end. We know it's coming to an end. We know Jesus is coming again. So we need to get ourselves ready. Question: are we ready? You are not ready if you have not obeyed the gospel. You are not ready if, having heard the word of God, you do not believe it. If you have not repented of your sins, you know, except you repent, you shall all perish. You are not ready if you have not owned up to Christ, confessing His name. Are you ready? You are not ready if you have not been baptized, immersed in water. You know, in that verse 42, it makes reference to the thief. And in that one verse, it uses therefore twice. Because you do not know when the coming is, therefore watch. Christians, are we watching? Have we taken our eyes off the goal? Are we, as Christians, we need to watch? Are we ready? Yes, we have readied ourselves for the gospel, but are we continuing faithful in teaching us also? Are we continuing faithfully worship and service to Almighty God? Are we watching? Are we readying ourselves? Question. You know, I'm going to leave the lesson here. There are some things that I sort of jumped over, but I will, in the lesson tonight, we'll get an opportunity to fill some of these gaps. But we would have heard enough this morning to recognize that it is important to put things in context. Because when we do not put it in context, we can get it all wrong. And it can have spiritual implications that are negative. Negative spiritual implications when we put things out of context. Let us study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed because he rightly divides the word of truth. The lesson is yours. We ask the song leader to come with a song of invitation. If it is that we recognize that we are not ready, then today is as good a time as any to ready ourselves. Let us watch, Christians. Let us watch. Because Jesus Christ is coming again.